once again for Insight with Jack Sogler on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Sogler is being brought to you by the community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's broadcast. Without further ado, here's your host, Mr. Jack Sogler.
Welcome to Insight without Jack Sogler tonight. It's Marcia's birthday. I think she is 38, and they're having a family thing, I guess. I'm not sure exactly what's going on, but it's Marcia's birthday, and Jack isn't here, and so you'll have to just put up with me. Tonight, we welcome into the studio Tony Lefevre. She's going to be talking about the library stuff going on. Welcome, Tony.
Thank you. Hello, hello.
Yep. So let's just kind of start off. How did you get involved with the library? How long have you been involved with the library? What exactly do you do? And who are some of the other people that work there?
Well, that's a lot of questions. I don't
yes,
know if
it
I can
is.
Remember all of them.
Well, I'm done for the night.
Okay, well, I can fill it. I started working at the library 11 years ago. I just started like 10 hours a week, just putting away books and kind of filling in, just as a way to get out of the house. I had
your kids are awful. So
yeah, well, I needed to talk to people taller than my knees. So I was only like 8 or 10 hours a week, which was kind of a nice little break and, gave me an opportunity to be social. And, so like I said, I've been there for 11 years now. I average about 20 to 25 hours a week. Mm-hmm. And I have a lot of varied responsibilities. Because we have a small staff, we kind of all take care of a little bit of everything. I do, you know, manning the circulation desk when patrons come in and check out books. I'll occasionally help shelve, but we do have two students, Mackenzie and Ava, who do that primarily. I update our website. I'll plan story time events. I'll catalog books onto the system so patrons can check them out. We all kind of help with displays. Currently, we have a scavenger hunt going on that I put together. It's an I Spy with my spooky eye Halloween scavenger hunt, taking them to various locations in the library where they'll get a little bit of a treat, but kind of familiarizing themselves with the things at the library. So yeah, we're kind of a jack of all trades there, and it's great. I love it. I work with Linda Niefeld, who is our director, and mm-hmm. Teresa West Curtis is our other adult staff member, and myself. And it's a great place to be. I love it.
Yes, and one of the things that that I notice, and a lot of people don't realize, there are a bunch of things going on at the library.
We try.
Yeah, you have a lot of, things that are kind of organized for kids, and we'll go through a lot of that or all of that if we can. Mm-hmm. And so let's just take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk about some of those awesome things going on at the library. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
This is Zoe from Brick Street Tavern, and we have delicious home-cooked daily lunch specials at a great price Monday through Friday. And now we also offer a second cook's choice lunch special every day. We still offer our regular lunch favorites. We start off each week with Mystery Monday, and our special will be something different each week. On Tuesday, it's our meatloaf dinner. Wednesday, it will be our famous three-piece chicken dinner. Thursday, you can get a tenderloin with fries and applesauce. And on Friday, we have our big half-pound cheeseburger with fries and slaw. And now we also offer a second lunch special every day. Check our Facebook page daily to see what our two lunch specials will be. Fast, delicious, home-cooked meals. Lunchtime Monday through Friday here at Brick Street Tavern in downtown Fort Recovery.
At Cooper Farms, family first isn't just a saying. It's our culture.
I like that the company has a value system that I can subscribe to. Things that are important to the organization are also things that are important to me. We have very caring and competent leaders that value family.
Join the family. Apply online at CooperFarms.com. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Cadote from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. K&L Tractor is proud to be the authorized Kloss hay and forage dealer for this part of the Midwest. Whether you need a Kloss baler, hay tool, or forage harvester, K&L Tractor is the place to go. We have the Kloss product you need and the factory-trained technicians to keep you running smooth. So remember, for all your Kloss harvesting needs, shop at K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
Story time for the little ones is back. Starting in October, our library will once again be having story time for babies through preschool age children. There are two sessions each week, Tuesday evenings at 6:15 and Friday mornings at 10:30. So whether you go to one or both sessions, take your young kids to story time at the Fort Recovery Library, Tuesday evenings at 6:15 or Friday mornings at 10:30.
All right, we're back on Insight, and we just kind of heard our old friend Clayton Pearson talking about story time. So let's just kind of start there. That just started back up, right?
Sure. Actually, we did not have a story time on Tuesday evening this week. It would have normally started, but we did an event sponsored by our Friends of the Library, pumpkin painting.
Yep.
And so what we do with that is the Friends of the Library pays for a portion of the cost to get the pumpkins.
Mm-hmm.
And Judy's Fruit Farm is where we get those pumpkins from, and they're very, very generous with us. And so we have sign-up sheets, and any child can come in, and we have all the paint materials, floor-covered paintbrushes, all the mess. Yeah, all the mess can be made at the library, and it only costs the patron $2. Mm-hmm. If you're a Friends of the Library member, then it's no charge.
Mm-hmm.
So we did have that on Tuesday evening. We have one more opportunity for that on Saturday morning, and as I looked today, we have a few spots left. So you can call the library at 375-2869. And see if there's availability and register for that event.
Yep, or if you're a regular person that goes in the library
right,
every week, just ask them and they'll.
Yep. So then we will start our regular story time on Friday morning at 10:30. And the great part about our Friday morning story times is that we have community volunteers that take care of those story times for us.
Mm-hmm.
So we have some retired teachers that are terrific, and they put the story times together, they put the crafts together, and they volunteer on a regular basis to provide those story times for our children here at the library.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. It's wonderful.
That's really good. So it's Friday morning and Tuesday evening.
Yep.
Friday morning at
10:30 and Tuesday evenings at 6:15 p.m.
Huh.
Yep. So it's really a great opportunity for parents to bring their kids in. We mm-hmm. welcome kids of all ages.
Yep.
If they're babies, absolutely yep. bring them.
Now, most of the stories are for like 8-year-old on down, or is it?
Yeah, I'd say 6 on down.
Okay.
You know, it's mm-hmm. preschool age and lower.
Uh-huh.
So they're picture books. They're short stories. And usually they have a theme with them,
mm-hmm.
but it does not bother any of our storytellers if mm-hmm. the kids get up, need to walk around.
Yep.
You know, if they're very active. I've even done story times and a child's been quietly playing with a toy, but you know, they're participating, they're being part
yeah.
of it, and it's really a great opportunity.
And probably absorbing more than it
yep.
looks like they are, but
yep.
yeah, if they're there, they're eventually going to get into it, and,
yeah.
and they're gonna it might not be this story that excites them, but the next week it might be
right.
that one. And for those, you do want a parent, an adult.
It is
along.
Helpful, yes.
Yeah.
Especially with the younger ages that we're getting at the story times. It is nice if there's a parent or guardian. We, you know, they can be as involved as they want. They can sit back and let their child come up to the front, which we encourage. Or
yep.
they can sit on the floor with their child and participate
yep.
with them.
Yep.
But we do try to provide a craft. We're working on fine motor skills. Sometimes it's cutting. Sometimes it's gluing, coloring, different things like
yep.
that. And, you know, if we've got 20 kids at the story time, it is hard to assist everyone. So it's
yeah.
nice if we've got some adult assistance in there.
Yep, yep.
But
so that's, and that is usually October and November?
October, actually through April.
Oh, April.
We do it,
oh, okay.
We do it every month through April. There are a few occasions where you don't have a story time if a holiday falls on a Tuesday
sure.
or Friday.
Yep.
Good Friday, we're always closed, so we don't have story time on that morning. Usually the day after Thanksgiving, we're smaller are staffed
yeah.
because it's not yeah. terribly busy. So yeah. traditionally, we don't have a story time on that Friday, but feel free to call. If you feel like your child is too active for story time, please bring them. Because our goal is really to provide opportunities for everyone to enjoy their library, because mm-hmm. it is the public's library.
Yes, it is.
But also to introduce kids at a very young age to being active and involved in the library, being accessible, mm-hmm. knowing our staff, knowing where things are. Mm-hmm. We really, really encourage
and being
families.
Around other kids.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, so it's really a great program.
Unless it's cousins or neighbors, a lot of times, you know, when they go to kindergarten or preschool or first grade, that's the first time they've been with other kids
with
in
other
a situation
kids. Yep.
that, you know, because at home, generally, they're the star, all the attention's on them, and you have to figure out how to get along with people and not have everything
right.
be about you.
Yep.
And
they have to share. We don't
yep.
put a glue stick on for every child because you know, it would be convenient. And sometimes there are, you know, depends on how many kids there are. But, mm-hmm. you know, it's about learning to share, learning to ask for yeah. the materials that you need, that kind mm-hmm. of stuff. And
yep.
We really enjoy it. So.
Yeah, so besides, it's actually story time, but there's a whole lot more kind of yep. behind the scenes to it that
yep.
the kids learn a lot
and
of things.
It's really about creating literacy
yep.
activities and involvement and vocabulary expansion. And, you know, yep. none of us are educators by degree, but we obviously have great resources. And like I said, our story time volunteers are great resources and they help us. And we really try to help encourage learning
yeah.
and fun.
Yeah. And that's a good thing about the library that, you know, people still think it's where you go and everything is quiet. Nobody says anything because there's people in there reading and all mm-hmm. that. I've gone in there plenty of times and yeah, there are people sitting over here reading, but there's kids running around and
yeah.
hollering at mom,
mm-hmm.
mom, look at this book over here.
Yeah.
You know, and that doesn't, you know, that is absolutely okay in our library.
Yep. And actually the culture of libraries, a lot of them have changed. There are locations in each library, I would say, are quieter,
mm-hmm.
but I think it's become more of a community center for families across the board. And
yeah.
we hear a lot of other libraries talk about the shush culture is no longer in effect in most places in the library because we do want to encourage a lot more. Now, you know, I don't think we're going to have people running around like cowboys
yeah.
and Indians and yahoos,
yeah.
but it is a safe, free place. We jokingly say that I'm one of the loudest people at the library. So please feel free to come in and talk.
Yeah, that's good. And have your kids in there, and you know there's so much to
yep.
to do and to see and to look at and
yep.
ask about. And
so we actually have a couple of years ago, and it's probably been more than I think, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, the Friends of the Library donated money to have a room upstairs that was kind of a utility room for us. Painted with a mural on it. We have shelving with puzzles and games and toys. There's a colorful rug on the floor. There's a rocking chair in there. It's where we use it for story times, but it's also open during the day. So we do have parents that come in and they'll meet up with other parents and other kids and they'll come play, or they'll just come, you know, hey, we need it out of our house for an hour. They'll come up there and use that. So we really strongly encourage you, feel free to use that space that's been so generously provided by the Friends of the Library, because it's your community space. You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. But mm-hmm. that's really good that there's, you know, that people understand that they can go to the library for a lot more than just finding a book and
yep.
Checking it out and turn around and leave.
Absolutely.
There are still people that do that. A lot of people just read, and
right.
that's fine. They go in and they might be reading a series of books, and they've read two, then three, then four. Now they're looking for five, and they walk in and walk out 5 minutes later. But,
right.
But I don't think most people do that. I think a lot of people will go in and kind of look around and see what's
yeah.
new, and so You mentioned Friends of the Library. What's that about, and how do people get involved?
So the Friends of the Library has been around for 17 or 18 years. We had a group of staff members and local parents who decided we needed an organization in the community to raise money for the library, to use it for materials, for furniture, for any improvements that the library needed above and beyond what the normal budget would offer. So the Friends of the Library every year has a membership drive, usually in the spring around April, and we mail out membership forms to every household in the community. And it can be anywhere from $5 to the sky's the limit, whatever you'd like to donate.
Yeah, a big donation.
Yeah, and generous donations.
And actually, I don't know how it works for you guys, but you know, we do our Christmas show in December, mm-hmm. but we have people who pledge a percentage of their income tax refund.
Oh, okay.
Of course, you don't know what that is till it gets there. But,
sure.
So that's a way you could do that too. If you decided you wanted to make a donation, you can base it on a percentage of what your
income tax
mm-hmm. refund is, and that's a good way to, you know, a lot of people just go out and blow it on stuff, or a lot of people will save it, and that's a really good idea too.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But if you kind of feel like, if you're one of those people that like to give, and a lot of times you don't have as much money as you'd like to give at certain times. Most people's refunds, I think they say average $800 to $1,000 or something like that, or maybe even more than that. So that would be a good way to spend it on things that you would like to donate to. Just make a list during the year and kind of divvy up half of your refund between the 2 or 15 things and or whatever percentage you decide you're going to give. And, you know,
That's a neat idea.
Yeah, put some in savings, put some in write your list of things you want to give to, and then give it away when you get it.
Sure.
Because there's very few things that they only fundraise on a certain day or a certain week or a certain month.
Right.
They will take your donation anytime.
Yeah. So the Friends of the Library organization does provide programming. Like I mentioned, the pumpkin painting. Mm-hmm. They sponsor the Festival of Trees. They have purchased new computers and iPads for us, materials for story time, craft time, furniture, new carpeting. So they've contributed towards a lot of things at the library mm-hmm. that wouldn't necessarily fit in our regular budget.
Mm-hmm.
They meet 4 times a year, so anyone that chooses to be as involved as they want to is obviously always welcome. We do have a small group of members that come quarterly and discuss, okay, here's where we're at, here's what we'd like to see donated, here's a program that we'd like to see happen. So anyone who donates in that Friends membership drive is welcome at any of those meetings. We don't expect that of membership. We certainly welcome anyone, but that you're not required. And
right.
any donation amount is appreciated, because, you know, even the smallest thing, glue sticks, paper, craft supplies, construction paper, all of that stuff benefits the kids. And, you know, don't think your donation's too small, because anything that we receive,
yes.
we utilize in a mm-hmm. Responsible manner to help with the programming for the kids.
Right. And it does take a good amount of money. And this was probably well before your time, but I remember, I'm going to say 20 or 25 years ago, states started slashing mm-hmm. budgets, and the libraries in the state of Ohio were hit very hard.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we went from being open 6 days a week to not open at all on Thursday,
mm-hmm.
Less staff, fewer things, probably almost everything that you mentioned that the Friends of the Library have picked up were things that used to be provided either in large part or completely by the state,
mm-hmm.
and they are not anymore.
Yeah.
I can't believe that some legislator hasn't said, you know, we're doing okay now, let's put that back.
Yeah.
'Cause libraries, and I'm assuming Fort Recovery isn't the only place with a good flourishing library that does a lot of things for the community. So I can't believe that somebody hasn't said, let's get this, let's let the state of Ohio do it, just so they don't put so many conditions on how you can spend the money.
Well, we have a terrific board of trustees. Linda is a terrific director and have used the funds that we've received from the state well, and we've been able to continue the service that we have offered for a long time. So I don't know all the ins and outs of that. I'm thankful that there are people that do. But the Friends of the Library is a great way to give. And I mentioned, you know, we have programs for kids, but we also try to do a lot of programming for adults, which I'll get into here in a little bit. So the funding goes towards that too. But the Friends of the Library sponsors, a huge sponsor of our summer reading program, our entertainment, our prizes for the kids, our activities. So, you know, those funds are greatly appreciated, and the kids and adults get a lot of benefit from that.
So I know you have some authors coming up. Do you do that every month, or just
we do not?
Okay, it seems like
we have had a run of them. Which is kind of uncommon for us. We did host Janet Shane, who was a local Coldwater resident who had written part of an anthology. She had written her personal story, and she came in and did a little bit of a talk conversation about how she got involved with that. Coming up, we have an author named Jess Montgomery, which is not her real name. Her real name is Sharon Short. And she is from the Dayton area. So she actually writes for the Dayton Daily News.
Does she use her name or the Jess Montgomery name?
She does both, actually. She uses her name for the Dayton Daily News. Fiction series that she has written, she's written under this Jess Montgomery, but she is going back to her true name for the next series that she's writing. So she came and visited with us in January of 2020, right before the COVID shutdown. And she did a phenomenal job talking about her first book, which is a historical fiction book set in Southern Ohio in the coal mining towns. And she had told us she had some more books coming out. So she is now published the fourth book and is getting ready to start a new series. And we just enjoyed her so much that Debbie Zumstein, who does our adult programming for the Friends, reached out to her and asked if she would come back again. So she is coming for our book club discussion on Monday, October 16th at 6 o'clock p.m. to discuss her book, The Echoes. And that is open to anyone. We do have extra copies of the book at the library that you can check out. But she's a very engaging author, and it should be a neat opportunity.
Yeah, and I believe, just looking at some information about that series, it's about a real-life first female sheriff in the state of Ohio.
It is.
And my understanding is a lot of those stories are somewhat based on actual things, but she does her own representation of what might have gone on and what is going on and that type of thing.
And so she's done a lot of research to make it as historically accurate as possible, using situations from that time period that happened locally in her books. So it's she's definitely one that is going to be great to come to. There's no registration or fee associated with it. It's open to anyone.
That's awesome. And then in November,
we have a local author, Kathy Judy, who was a teacher here at Fort Recovery, is coming November 14th at 6 p.m. She has written a book about her life with her son, Matt, who had Down syndrome. And
most of us knew Matt very well, especially from basketball games and that type of thing.
He was an avid sports fan and in the community, and Kathy was a longtime teacher here at Fort Recovery Schools. And she is going to be coming to the library again on November 14th at 6 p.m. to discuss her book that is, I believe, self-published. It's called And We're Testing Your Son for Down Syndrome. She no longer lives in the direct Fort Recovery area, but she is back frequently to visit with people in the area and is going to be sharing with us her new book.
That's really, things like that are really good. And actually, speaking of books, book clubs.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about your book clubs and who can get in them when they are, and how if you do them all year long and all that kind of thing. So
we offer two book clubs. There is an evening book club that meets on the third Monday of every month from August through May. So we take June and July off.
Mm-hmm.
And we all read the same book. The great part about our consortium is we can request enough copies for everybody to have a book without having to pay for it. There have been very few times we've asked people to purchase a copy. So we've been very, very fortunate with that. But we meet at 7 p.m. the third Monday of the month. You'll have the book title the month prior. And then we have like an hour and 15 minute long discussion. Anyone is welcome to join that. We probably have a regular group of 12 to 15 people that come. It can be guys or girls. Currently, most the whole group is women, but we are open to having men be part of the discussion as well. So if you're interested in that, you're welcome to join us for those monthly discussions. Again, they're August through May on the third Monday of the month at 7 p.m. And that book club is called Novels at Night. Then we have another book club on Wednesday mornings. It's the first Wednesday of the month from September through May. They meet at 10:30 in the morning on Wednesdays, and they choose a separate book from the evening book club because a lot of people are in both.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a variety of books and genres between the two book clubs. And again, we have an opportunity to request enough books generally for everybody through the library consortium so that no one has to buy them.
Mm-hmm.
But usually Connie Hart and Pat Winning lead the morning book club discussion, and I lead the evening book club discussion. So when I say that, I say it loosely because usually I have a list of questions and we all end up joining in on the discussion and kind of jump around, and it's really great.
Exactly how it should be.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a formal lecture, class, nothing like that.
Yeah,
it's
very informal, a lot of fun. We have differing opinions, which is also great. It opens lots of dialogue. Sometimes everybody will like the book. Sometimes nobody will like the book. Sometimes it's half and half. And it's really just a great opportunity to dialogue about literature, sometimes popular books, sometimes not on the bestsellers list books. We've done fiction and nonfiction. We've done young adult books. So we kind of have a variety of titles and genres through both book clubs that we offer for discussion. And anyone is welcome to join either one of those book clubs. We also have people that request the book club title and don't choose to come to the book clubs, but they just want to be introduced to new authors. And we're happy to request books on a regular basis for anyone that's interested.
Yeah, so the consortium, kind of explain what that is and how that works, and how can the general public kind of utilize that? Or
yeah, absolutely. So the consortium is something that we joined, I don't know how many years ago, but we pay an annual fee to be part of this consortium called Serving Every Ohioan. We have over 95 libraries in the state of Ohio that are part of this consortium. So your library card can work at every single one of those other libraries, which Mercer County District Library is a part of, and that includes Chickasaw Branch, Mendon, St. Henry, Salina, and then our library and Rockford are the local libraries that are part of that consortium, but then across the state. So when you come into the library and you'd like to check out a book and we don't have it on our shelves, we can reach out into our system, because from those other 95 libraries, there may be 120 copies of that particular title. So being part of the consortium allows us to place a hold on that book for you. It is sent through a cargo system that is called Priority Mail. And we have labels that will send the materials in bags, and they go to a warehouse and get sorted and then are distributed to those libraries on a regular basis. Our library receives cargo materials 3 times a week. Some libraries, the bigger libraries, do every day. Some do once or twice a week. So it really depends on what your particular library needs are. But it's not possible for us to carry every book that's
right.
out there. We
right.
just don't have the space. We don't have the funds.
Right.
We don't have the circulation for every particular title. So we try to maintain a library based on what is a great reflection of our community and what circulates here to be held on our shelves, knowing that if you want something else that's not available directly from our library, we can get it from another library. So that's the benefits of the consortium. They support our library through our workflows program, which is what we use to check books in and out. We use to inventory. They give us great support with that. They give us great support with cataloging our materials, sharing our materials, and lots of other resources that even technical support for our computers mm-hmm. that we just don't have the staffing for.
Yep.
So.
Yep. All right. So let's take a break here. We'll be back in just a little bit. We'll talk about several things, Festival of Trees for one, and mm-hmm. and a bunch of other things, because the library does a ton of things. Mm-hmm. So we'll be back in just a little bit.
Klingchern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingchernandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingchern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
Hull Brothers in Fort Recovery has openings in their parts department. If you're friendly and professional with a working knowledge of farm equipment, consider joining the Hull Brothers team. Applicants need to have solid computer skills, a good ability to communicate, and the desire to learn. Full-time employees enjoy great pay and benefits. Since 1896, Hull Brothers has served area farmers. Consider joining the parts department at Hull Brothers in Fort Recovery. Stop in soon or give Hull Brothers a call today.
If you're looking for great food at great prices, just call Miracle Lanes at 375-4274. They have sandwiches, fried goodies, subs, salads, wraps, and of course their famous pizza and wings. Everybody can get what they want. Just call them and drive through and pick it up. And be sure to stop in on Fridays at lunch for their famous pizza and wing buffet. Make Miracle Lanes your number one spot for great food. Be sure to put their number in your phone and just call them whenever you're hungry. 419-375-4274. Recovery Merchants and the Fort Street Car Classics Car Club are having their fall cruise in on Saturday afternoon, October 7th, on the Brick Street in downtown Fort Recovery from 4 to 8 p.m. Oldies will be playing all day, there will be a 50-50 drawing, and of course, some of the coolest cars around. Make plans now to head up to the Brick Street and check out the awesome cars that will be there. Fall cruise in Saturday, October 7th from 4 to 8. You don't want to miss it. The Fort Recovery Library will be hosting author Jess Montgomery on Monday evening, October 16th from 6 to 7 p.m. She'll be talking about her book, The Echoes. Ms. Montgomery is a multiple literary award winner and is the author of the Kinship Historical Mysteries series, inspired by the true story of Ohio's first female sheriff who takes on murder and corruption at the heart of her community. The Echoes is the fourth novel in this series. You don't want to miss Jess Montgomery's book discussion about her novel, The Echoes, and the Kinship Historical Mysteries series, Monday evening, October 16th at 6 p.m. at our library.
Welcome back, and we're on Insight with Library, Tony Lefevre, and the one you just heard, author Jess Montgomery. She'll be here in a couple of weeks, and so
you do a great job with those promos, Neil. Thanks so much.
You give me a lot of information. I just type it out, move the words around a little bit, and basically say whatever you write.
Oh, well, I think it's terrific.
So, and, you know, to me, it's important for people to know what's going on around our community. As we, I think I've mentioned 15 times already, there's so much going on at the library all the time. It's just, you know, people my age, it is completely 100% different from what it was back when we were younger.
And again, I think
so much going on.
The library has transitioned to more of a community center.
Yes.
And we hear that a lot. Like, if we are able to go to conferences and stuff, it's so much more than just a building for checking out books, which is super valuable.
And
I say
absolutely.
Just, I don't mean it that way.
I mean, as the only thing.
Right, right. It just really is a community center. There's a lot of programs for after school kids. There's, you know, STEAM programs, science, technology, engineering, arts, and math. There's maker spaces where they'll have, and we don't really have the opportunity for a lot of some of those things, but where they'll have 3D printers for people to use. So across the board, libraries have really changed the dynamic of their function, what they originally were intended to do. And they've kept that, but also added to it.
Yeah, so let's just talk about some of the other things that the library has.
Mm-hmm.
You rent out Wi-Fi hotspots still?
We do. Yep. Yep, we have.
A lot of people have no idea about that.
Yeah.
And most people with kids know that that exists. And a lot of them have their own if they use it a lot. But if you use it occasionally, there's no real reason for you to go buy one and keep track of it when you can borrow it from the library.
Right.
Is there a charge involved with that?
There is no charge. So what we have is we've partnered with a company that works with nonprofits, and they help you get affordable hotspots and subscriptions for the services for nonprofit organizations. So we actually currently have 18 hotspots.
18?
Yes, and last weekend there was not a single one on the shelf.
I think the last time I talked about this, you had like a half a dozen or something.
We started out with five.
Yeah.
Those went out quite a bit. We added to 10. We had an opportunity to purchase 10 more, so we at one time had 20. As the devices maybe have some dysfunction or whatever, we have decreased to 18. But what they are is they are a small box, about the size, half the size of an iPhone, and they have service plan to them, just like a phone, but they don't make phone calls. So a family or a patron could check one of those out for 2 weeks. We ask that you be a patron in good standing. We do ask for a driver's license number just for reference, because they are a little bit more expensive to replace. We haven't had any patron issues with those. But they're a 2-week loan on your library card that you can check them out and connect up to 10 devices onto each hotspot. So they are password protected, which we give the password with the device when they are checked out. And they're great for vacations. You know, if you're in the car for 10 hours with your kid or kids or husband, you know. You never know.
Yeah.
You never know who's going to be on it. Actually, we've used it before for long trips to run a GPS program, so it's not using up our data.
Mm-hmm.
But you can connect up to 10 devices and have great Wi-Fi service. It's off of cell phone towers, and the company that the Wi-Fi subscriptions are through is T-Mobile. So their service is really pretty good. You know, you occasionally have trouble. The further west you go, the fewer cell towers there are, or through the mountains sometimes. But they have been really great resources for patrons to use, particularly for vacations in the car, temporary use.
Yeah,
kind
so
of
they're
things.
Really good for while you're driving, and if you're at a place that doesn't have good Wi-Fi, or doesn't provide free Wi-Fi, then you can use it while you're there.
Yep, and so we have had some families use it. Okay, our internet's out at home. Our kids still need to do homework.
Yep,
or we're in a situation where we're in between houses and our new internet hasn't been hooked up, and whatever.
Yep.
There's a variety of reasons, and you know, your own personal reason is your reason. But there's a lot of opportunities to use those devices that are provided by the library for internet use.
So I'm going to start just kind of jumping through some things. But how about going over some of the details, sales pitch on the scavenger hunt?
Okay. Yeah, so I had mentioned the scavenger hunt earlier, and we do several throughout the year. The kids can come in if mom has extra time, and usually they're 5 to 10 minutes long. This particular scavenger hunt that we have right now is trying to introduce them to different locations in the library, but it's more of a fun one. This mm-hmm. one's kind of a Halloween hunt. The first stop that they make is they make a little treat bag with paper lunch bags, and they use stickers and stuff on it.
Cool.
And then each additional stop, they have a picture with 5 different images from library locations inside our library. So they have to be able to identify where those locations are in the library. There's a Halloween bucket there, and they have treats. One has suckers in it. One has temporary tattoos and stickers. One has Halloween slap bracelets. So that one's kind of a fun one, more just for, you know, a Halloween treat kind of thing.
If you have one kid, can that kid come in and do it, or do you want to have groups of kids?
Oh, no, it's individual based. So it's self, they do it on their own time, their own pace, and it can be one, it can be 10. So yeah.
if you have two of your kids and 3 cousins, just pop in and
absolutely.
Do stuff. Or if you're having a like a birthday party get together or something, or some other where you have some kids over,
Let's
just run up to the library and do the scavenger hunt.
I would imagine we'll probably have it out for 2 or 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And it is not something you have to register for. It is available during all of our business hours. And most of our scavenger hunts are like that, where, you know, it's just an opportunity for them to get to know the library. Sometimes we have, like, more specific clues as far as, okay, if you go to this call number, let's say you want to find a book on shipwrecks. Okay, so find the shipwrecks where it's 910.2 call number upstairs. And they have to be a little bit more familiar with that. Mm-hmm. So our goal is to try to help them learn things in the library.
Yeah.
But the kids have a blast with them. Actually, I was about a week late putting this one out because I had 3 or 4 kids ask me, when's the next scavenger hunt coming? So they look forward to them. And this one is one that the materials are provided by Friends of the Library Funds. Mm-hmm. You know, they give us a little bit of money, and we purchase fun treats for them. So anyone is welcome to come in and take part in it.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So jumping again, stop motion animation thing in November.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
This is a workshop that, again, I keep saying the Friends of the Library, but they are very generous to us. The Friends of the Library is sponsoring this workshop. We have provided an area upstairs in our library within the last 4 years that has a green screen for movie making, stop motion animation. There are some games there. There's a couple of comfortable chairs with charging ports in them. And the premise of that, the intent was to get some of our preteens and teens into the library. We are not terribly knowledgeable with stop motion animation, and it's kind of a younger generation thing. So this group of people, it's Alex Thomas and friends, and I believe they're from Michigan, offers a stop motion animation workshop that you can request that they come down. It's a 2-hour program. It is limited to 20 people, and it can be ages 8 on up through adult. So Neil, if you wanted to come in and learn how to do stop motion animation, you would be absolutely welcome. We would just ask that you pre-register for it so that we don't exceed the limit of participants. It is Saturday, November 4th at 10:30 a.m. And they are going to help each participant make their own stop motion puppet and show them how to bring it to life using the technology, the green screen, the actual puppet. And stop motion animation, for those of you who don't know, is what, like, the Lego movie was created with. Shaun the Sheep is a claymation stop motion animation. So you're basically taking lots of images, and between each image, you're moving the piece in front of you to maybe move their hand, move their leg, move their head, and you have a grouping of these pictures that when you put it into the stop motion animation program, it becomes a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so this group is going to come in and show kids how to do that. Our hope is that we get enough participants that understand how to do it, that they'll bring their friends up, they'll use it after school, they'll use it on the weekends, create their own videos.
Because otherwise it just sits there.
Right.
And so the whole purpose of the library is to have people help people do things, especially creative, especially something that they might be able to use later on, or at least just have fun with. That's great.
And it's just an opportunity for that age group, that preteen, teens, even up through adults, because there's a lot of a lot of people that really enjoy those activities, just to be able to use the library resources.
That's great. Jumping again, the 1,000 books before kindergarten thing. I keep seeing pictures on Facebook of these awesome little kids, and you know, these finished their 100th, these finished their 600th. Explain how that goes, and, and what's involved in that.
That's a neat
program. And who's allowed to do that?
It's a national program, and we've jumped in on it this last year, and the goal is, again, literacy. So, you know, it does not matter what age the child is. Obviously, the goal is to get them to read 1,000 books before kindergarten. We do have some older kids that are just like, I love filling in the bubbles. I love reading. So they're older kids that are participating in it. But you can have each child participate in your family. And the great part about that program is the kid doesn't have to read it.
Right.
They just need to be read to.
And sometimes that's even better. And, you know, I think I've seen statistics recently that that when children are reading or read to, they are so much more likely to be successful in school and in life in general.
Reading aloud is one of the most underutilized, I think, I don't want to say program, but anyway, I think it needs to get more attention because, you know, if kids are reading books, which is terrific, they may not know this vocabulary word, so they'll skip over it. They may not know how to speak from one character to the next, or stop the sentence, or give emotion with it. If you're reading aloud to them, they hear all of that. They pick up on that. They pick up on vocabulary words. They just love being read to. And so the goal is to give them as much literacy skills as possible. It's a great connection between parent or older child. Sometimes the older siblings will read to the kids. It's great practice for the older sibling. It's great for the younger sibling to be read to. And you don't have to read 100 different books. It can be 50 books that you read two times each. It can be whatever. It's just the idea of reading to them. You know, toddlers love repetition. My kids loved the same book over and over again. You can count every time you read that book to them. So it's not like you have to read 1,000 different books. It's
because I was sitting there thinking, what?
That's a lot.
1,000 different books for that would appeal to that age. I couldn't think.
Which, you know, there's a lot out there. There's a lot out there, and it's terrific. You know, if you are managed to get 1,000 different books, that's great. It doesn't have to be. So don't make it like where you feel like we are limited because I can't get 1,000 different books. You know, your kid wants to read the same book 5 days in a row. Read them the same book 5 days in a row and count it every time.
Sure.
Because it's all about establishing those literacy skills. So anyone can participate in that. We do have the document forms that you circle in these bubbles, and every 100 you come in and get a new form. We give out small prizes at 100, 500, and they receive something a little bit more significant at 1,000. I'm not going to say that they're life-changing gifts, but it's an opportunity.
So it's not a new car.
No. Not everybody gets a new car. But it's an opportunity for parents and students to parents and kids to establish relationship, build literacy, and give them a sense of accomplishment too. The kids, it's so fun when they want to come in and show you their recording sheet and take my picture and
And every one of those kids in those pictures on Facebook is just grinning ear to ear. They're so proud of having done that, and it kind of shows that they enjoyed it a lot.
And they'll come back in and be like, I want to pick out the books, you know, or I want to read this one again. And it's just a lot of fun.
That's great. So let's jump again to a different subject. I think it's twice a year you have a Friends of the Library book sale.
Yes.
Which isn't just books, but...
Right.
So explain that a little bit. I think people are allowed to donate
books.
And
so that is coming up here here. Oh, I didn't write the date down. Is it October 23rd, maybe?
It might be. I'm not sure, but it'll be on the social media and all over the place. We'll have a
don't have a that date in front of me, unfortunately.
That's okay.
Skipped over that one. But yes, what we do is we accept donations from the public, books that are in good condition, and we'll accept almost everything. What we don't accept is like dictionaries, textbooks, magazines, and VHS tapes.
Yep.
So those just don't circulate. But, you know, if you've got children's books that your kids are no longer reading, you're ready to move on to the next phase, we'd absolutely love to have those donations. What we do with any donation is first we evaluate it to see if it would circulate on our shelves. If it's something that maybe our copy needs replaced or we think it would circulate, then we may actually put it onto our stacks and circulate it. If not, with your permission, we'll put it in our used book sale, which is great because it offers the opportunity for people to come in and get books. And we have done this the last couple of years on a free will donation basis. So we don't charge a particular amount for any item that you get. You come in and you choose, you know, what you'd like to donate. That way, you know, if it's not anything specific.
So there it's not like hardbacks are $5. Nope.
We did at one time do that.
Paperbacks are $2 or whatever it might be.
We did at one time do that. And then COVID hit and it changed some things.
Yep.
And for the ease of the patron and for our staff, we decided to do the free will donation. And that has worked out so well. Just I think it makes everybody just feel a little bit more comfortable about coming in and just offering what they can. And, you know, again, our goal is to get people reading and enjoying what they have.
Do some of the books also, ones that you're taking out of your circulation, is that a large part, small part, no part?
It depends on the book sale. Sometimes it's more significant than others. There's obviously, we call it weeding in the library. And that's a difficult process because we never want to take books off the shelf if we can avoid it. But there are some books that don't circulate. There are some books that we may have duplicates of, and we just don't have the shelf space. So every library does this process called weeding on a regular basis.
Yeah, because you're bringing in new books all the time.
We have lots of new books that are being offered. Linda does a terrific job bringing in some new titles, but so we do have to make shelf space. And so some of the books on the book sale are books that have come out of our collection that we want to make sure that people can have or take advantage of or use. So,
all right. So I think the only other thing on my list, I think you mentioned something about the Imagination Library.
Yeah.
So kind of explain that.
So I think people have heard of Dolly Parton. And she's kind of famous, but she has
kind of is, and she's kind of awesome too.
She is kind of awesome. She does a lot of really great things.
Kind of blessed too.
Rocker's here with us, so
yes, he is.
He's putting his 2 cents in.
It's about what it's worth. Might be overpriced.
Anyway, she had started a program in her hometown of Sevierville, Tennessee, quite a few years ago, to offer books to families that maybe had income issues, and she wanted everybody to have the same opportunities. So it's called the Imagination Library. Well, that library program, that Imagination Library, has gone a lot bigger in the past couple of years, and Governor DeWine's wife has jumped in on it and is now an initiative in Ohio that we can offer the Dolly Parton Imagination Library to every family in the state of Ohio. So what it is you sign up for that. It's a free program for families, and every child in your home up through age 5 gets a free book every month. So if you have a 2-, 3-, and 4-year-old, they won't all get the same book at the same time because they have specific age groups that they'll send out different books to, but every child will get a free book sent to them up until their 5th birthday. So that program is offered. There is an online sign up. If you go to, you can just do a search for Dolly Parton Imagination Library, Ohio, or you can come into the library and we can help you sign up for that program. That's something that we provide the opportunity to register for, but we don't have any control or access to that program.
Okay, so that's awesome.
Yeah.
So let's take a break. We'll come back and kind of recap everything and let you get anything else that we might not have covered, and we'll be back in just a minute or two.
You've
can't predict the future. Well, except that Ohio weather is unpredictable, and sometime in the future, you will lose power. Of course, with the Generac automatic standby generator from Reasoner Energy, you're covered. And for added predictability, now through October 8th, get a free 10-year warranty with your purchase of a Generac automatic standby generator. That's a $1,035 value. Terms and conditions apply. A predictable future is in your hands. Call for details, Reasoner Energy, 419-678-4858.
There's one guarantee in business, and that is that you can never predict the future. Hi, I'm Amanda Segrist with Fort Recovery Insurance. Lots of unpredictable things happen in business. The economy might take a U-turn, or that guy from down the road might take a U-turn into your front door. From a commercial insurance package to a commercial umbrella policy, we can make sure you are covered for the unpredictable. We are your local agent for Ohio Mutual Insurance Group. Visit us at www.fortrecoveryinsurance.com.
Wayne IGA is stocked up with all kinds of fall decorations. They have large pots of mums in a variety of colors and decorative gourds, Indian corn, and small, large, and jumbo pumpkins. You don't need to go out of town to the big box stores to get great decorations at reasonable prices. It's all right here in town. So while you're stopping by to get your groceries, be sure to check out their great selection of attractive fall decorations. Wayne IGA, your hometown store with a whole lot more. Here are the sports broadcasts coming up the rest of this week on Fort Recovery Radio. Tomorrow, Our Lady Indians will host Minster in a big MAC contest. We'll simulcast WPGW's coverage of the match, and it will be available on the NFHS Network. Friday night, our football team heads up to Parkway to take on the Panthers. Fort Recovery Radio will bring you the game with the Wayne IGA pregame show starting at 6:40. The NFHS video will be available. On Saturday, the ladies will host Fort Laramie, coming in ranked at number 2 in the state. The JV match starts at 10, and Fort Recovery Radio will broadcast the varsity match with the NFHS video available. Get out and support our Indians teams this week, but if you just can't get to the games in person, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
Welcome back to Insight. We're talking with Tony Lefevre from the library, and we went through a whole bunch of things, and I think we forgot to talk about the festival trees, and then I'll let you kind of recap all the things we talked about, and especially just emphasize that there's so much more to the library than what people used to think, or what you, even if you've been there a bunch, there's probably things you didn't know about.
Yeah, actually there's a couple of things I'd like to highlight after I talk about the Festival of Trees. The Festival of Trees is an annual event that we have at the library in December, and it is an opportunity for families, businesses, and organizations to decorate a Christmas tree. They provide the Christmas tree and the decorations, and then we have a great magical display upstairs at the library through the month of December that's free for anyone to come to. We do have a ballot that you can vote on your favorite, and the winner gets bragging rights and their name on a plaque that's displayed at the library, but it's really, really kind of great opportunity to promote a business, to promote an organization, to remember a loved one, to highlight maybe something significant. We've had a variety of trees across the years that have been in memory of someone, or just, hey, this is our state-bound football team, or this is something we're going through. We've had an autism tree, you know, just to highlight some of the difficulties of autism. We've had a lot of different trees, but I'd like to highlight the fact that anyone, individual, family, business, organization is welcome to submit a tree for the Festival of Trees. We do have information that goes out at the end of October. The trees are put up the week after Thanksgiving, that full week, and then the display opens the following week. And it usually runs for 3 to 3.5 weeks, depending on when the holiday comes and the end of the December month. But if you might be interested, please stop by at the library and let me know, and I would be happy to get you information about participating in that Festival of Trees event.
Yep, and even if you're not participating, you're absolutely encouraged to go and look at them.
Oh, it's
a lot of
fun.
Vote for your favorite.
We have a lot of families that make it a yearly tradition to come up and bring their kids. kids, and
right.
they look through the trees and they vote on them, and it's just a really, really neat time of year. Just to take a few minutes and sit back and relax and enjoy all of the different lights and ideas.
Yep. Is there like hundreds of people that come up and
visit? We usually have around 350 to 400 actual ballots cast. Mm-hmm. There are more people than that we know come up that don't cast a ballot. So it's quite significant.
And probably some people that came up early and then they think, I want to go back and see that again.
So it's really neat.
Or anytime you're at the library, just run up and look, it could be the same person a number of times.
Yep.
So and that's awesome. So the other things you wanted to...
I wanted to highlight a couple of other things. Randy asked a really good question. Rocker asked a question about how do we decide... when we're doing our weeding, and a lot of times we have a program that will evaluate when the last time the books circulated, how old they are, and we don't get rid of anything that is in great shape or circulates frequently. So we have an opportunity to kind of get a report that tells us books that maybe just don't circulate anymore. Mm-hmm. He also asked a great question about movies. We offer DVDs at the library to be checked out. And in our collection, he asked me, off the top of my head, I'd say we have between 300 and 400 DVDs that can be checked out for a two-week loan period. Mm-hmm. They don't cost anything. I would say with streaming, that circulation has decreased, but it's still available. And a lot of times people that are going on trips have DVD players in their vans. We'll check out DVDs. So that's a great opportunity too. A couple of other things that we have at the library that you may not know about, other than the spaces upstairs that are new, the storytime room and the preteen teen kids area with the green screen, we have some things that can be checked out at the library that are a little bit non-traditional. One of them is we probably have 12 STEAM kits, and they're in plastic bags, and each of them has a theme. STEAM stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, Arts, and Math. And these are mostly for younger kids. There's one for literacy, so it may have some phonics books in it. One has coding, so it has activities about computer coding in it. One has crafting stuff. So those bags can be checked out at the library. They're kits that are put together by Penworthy, and they can be checked out for two-week periods, and we limit those bags to two per family. We also have other bags. There's a new product out there called a Tony Box, which sounds kind of funny because it chats at you, and I am known for chatting, so Tony Box is very appropriate. But what it is it's a square cube that has a magnetic feature at the top of it that when you put a character on it, it will read a story to you or sing songs or... basically talk to you. But the kids, it's soft-sided. They can carry it around with them. They can leave it in the charger. But it's a way to get books and music to the kids without having them attached to a digital screen. It has no screens. It's just audio. So there's four of those different sets that can be checked out at the library. We also have... the hotspots. We have some preloaded tablets for little kids that have like preloaded games. You don't need Wi-Fi, like educational games type stuff on them. So those are just some things that you can look for at the library the next time you're up there. Please feel free to ask us about them. We love to share what new things we have and what opportunities we have for you, not only to learn at the library, but to take home with you.
Okay. So I can't tell you how much we appreciate you stopping in and going over all of those things that our library has. And,
thank you
and,
for having me.
And if you have suggestions for them for other things, you know, you might change the way the state of Ohio does library
right.
stuff.
Bring it on.
Because I'm sure that all started with somebody saying, it'd be nice if you had DVDs.
Right.
Or at that time it'd have been VCR tapes
VHS
or whatever.
Tapes.
Yeah. So, and I think you used to have vinyl records and...
That was before my time.
And tapes and stuff like that.
Yeah. I wouldn't doubt if those come back because vinyls are making a comeback.
Yeah, they are. But most vinyl is bought by people that are very much purists.
Right.
And they wouldn't want some other kid
scratching it up.
Scratching it up. So you probably won't have to deal with that again.
Yep.
But if that's a thing, the library will have it.
Yep.
So thank you very, very much, Tony. And we appreciate you coming up.
Thank you.
Especially on fairly short notice. But we were I was thinking that we might have the auction people on this week, but they just opted to go on next week. So,
yep. Nope, it worked out. Thank you for asking me.
Yeah, we appreciate it a lot. Again, there's a lot of stuff going on at the library. Check out their Facebook page. There's a website, all kinds of things. Yep. And just check all of that out. There's a lot going on. There's a lot available.
Yeah. And our goal is, you know, I know we're running out of time, but it's your library. You know, be thinking that it's your library. It's your resource. We try to provide programs that you can take advantage of. And, you know, please utilize the library. Make us work.
Yes. Yeah. You like it. Get to see people.
We do.
Get to see people there.
Yep.
So, all right. We're going to take a quick little break and be back with Randy with his This Day in Pop Culture History and more back in just a minute or two.
Boars Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Boars, or Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Boars Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Boars Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Promotion from within the company is huge, and it's very much supported by the owners.
At Cooper Farms, we value hard work and dedication toward bettering yourself, and we reward that. We know that our team members are the key to our success.
We offer them classes. We help them try to get to that next level. We want them to learn. The people are our asset.
Apply online at CooperFarms.com. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hi, this is Chad Guggenbiller with CSG Consulting Finance and Brokerage in Fort Recovery. I believe firmly in two things. The little things mean a lot, and to be great, you have to be practicing certain tasks, OADB, on a daily basis. As a coach myself, certain small things completed the right way are the ripple in the pond that many times leads to a tidal wave of success in your operation. Trust me, there's a big difference between a pass or a toss at your feet as opposed to one that hits you right in the numbers. See me for a free review. CSG Consulting, your partner in planning and the fundamental things. 419-852-4049.
The Fort Recovery Firefighters are having their famous all-you-can-eat breakfast on Sunday morning, October 15th, from 8 to noon at the fire hall. Sausage, pancakes, and omelets custom-made by your firefighters, all-you-can-eat. All the proceeds will go toward new and updated equipment and building upgrades, and it's a free-will donation. Don't miss this great breakfast. Head on down to the fire hall on Sunday morning, October 15th, from 8 to noon, for the Fort Recovery Firefighters' famous omelet, pancake, and sausage breakfast.
Welcome back to Insight. We just spoke with Tony Lefevre from the library and told us all about a number of things that they have going on. Some of them you know about, some of them you don't. And now we go to Randy Bonvillain, the rockster himself. And he is going to, what are you going to shower us with today?
Well, let's not use that word.
Okay, what are you gonna dump on our heads?
On this day of pop culture history, October 3rd, 1966, the Dick Van Dyke Show premieres.
All right, 1966.
And he falls over that same footstool every time.
Yeah, well, it's recorded. He doesn't do it live every week.
How do you know? Was you there?
Yeah. I just go to their tapings.
Hey.
Crickets on that one. 2006. Friday Night, you know, like this little sports analogy.
Okay.
All right. Friday Night Lights hits huge for NBC.
Yep.
I used to watch it.
I'm not sure the show lasted that terribly long, but...
About two seasons.
Yeah. But it did good.
Yep, they had a movie before that and all that stuff. Yeah, that's good.
Yep. October 4th, 1957, another classic show, Leave It to Beaver, was debuted on CBS.
Ward, you were a little hard on the Beaver last night.
Yes.
Leave It to Beaver. Starring Barbara Billingsley, Hugh Beaumont, Tony Dow,
and Jerry Mathers.
That's the Beaver.
The
only one still alive.
He is?
Beaver's the only one still alive.
Right. Beaver never dies. No.
Yeah. No, the Beaver never dies. God, we better get out of that quick. 1972, the last of the curfews, the first ever after-school special airs on ABC.
Well,
those were top-notch.
Some of them were pretty good.
Some of them were god-awful.
Yeah, well, there's usually a good moral to the story.
Yes. Don't put your audience to sleep. There's a moral there.
No, not really, Randy. You're disparaging this show.
It's 50 years old.
Well, then why'd you bring it up?
That's part of my gimmick.
Okay.
Part of the schnick.
Area birthday time.
Birthday.
Ooh. Wednesday we have Jordan Jacobs.
Well, happy birthday to Jordan.
Sam Monville and Leanne Metzger.
All right.
All right.
Today, or tomorrow, I should say, Mike Tan and Tana Bechtel.
That's two all-stars.
You're missing then, one.
Oh, I'm working on it.
Okay.
Calm down there, sunshine.
We're getting anxious.
Saturday, Ross Holman.
Ross?
Yes. Which one? Did I miss one?
Yes, you did.
Marcia Stogler.
Oh, well, I figured that was already taken care of.
We talked about it at the beginning of the show.
Are we ready for that time of week again?
Uh-oh.
It's in the daytime.
Oh, I hope it's me again.
No, not quite.
Good.
He was once.
That was stupid.
This one you'll never see coming, though.
It's not going to be...
It's a woman.
Oh.
That's a hint.
Oh. Ellen Reddy?
Who? Ellen Reddy?
Eat me roll.
No, she's been...
Is it that...
She's been asleep for a while.
Is it that Feinstein lady in California?
No, this one's still alive. Lisa West Curtis.
There's two of them. I like both of them.
Post Office Lisa.
I like her.
That's awesome.
Both of them are awesome. She was mopping the floor and cleaning stuff up when I went in there this morning.
Celebrity birthday time.
All right.
For October 3rd.
October 3rd.
Chubby Checker turns 82.
Oh, baby!
Can't believe you guys are actually twisting. That Bob, Harold, Dick or Don, they're twisting.
Gwen Stefani turns 54.
Hello.
She does not look 54. Oops. Nev Campbell turns 50.
Oh, well, that's good. I don't know who that is, but I believe that's
and
she's somebody important.
Scream. She's in Scream. Maybe.
Jessica Simpson's little sister Ashley turns 39.
Well, then.
And now, this one you will know. Today's birthdays. Susan Sarandon turns a crisp 77.
She's older than I am.
Yes. John Cicada turns 62.
I don't have anything for him.
No. Alicia Silverstone turns 47.
Oh, I loved her in some of those videos. Awesome.
And then Dakota Johnson turns 34.
Well, is that a guy or a girl?
That's Don Johnson's daughter.
Okay.
Sonny Crockett's daughter.
Sonny.
Awesome.
And my little gimmick's over with for the week.
Good. I mean, that was good. That's what I meant to say.
Thank you, Don Ho. Well, I believe we got some big heavy hitters coming up.
Yep.
Who's that?
Dig or Don?
No. Stop talking about my weight.
Yep.
And I believe there's a mystery caller coming in.
He's not a mystery. It's Hal McCoy. No. He's awesome.
Hal McCoy, the legend.
Okay. Yep. Yep.
And I'm the legend my way right out of here.
All right.
See you next week, folks.
Thanks.
See you, Roger.
Be back in a minute with Sports Talk with Happy Bubba and Fee.
On the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show is being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard during the show. Thank you.